Question. Man, it's so good to be with you guys today. Can I just give a shout out to all the new people that are here today? Thank you for being a part of our church today. And also, I want to give a shout out to, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but some people have been out and about for a while because of sicknesses and other things going on in their lives. Can we just give a hand clap of praise for those who are able to be back today? You know who you are. You know who you are. And we're so grateful. It's so amazing when somebody I haven't seen in a long time walks in the building. It's like my heart leaps for joy. It's like, oh, it's so good to see you. And most of the time it's people out of people's circumstances, out of their control. And so I'm so grateful to be able to be back today. I'm just grateful to feel good today, man. I'm praising God that this is a good day, man, and we can just worship the Lord, kick the devil in the teeth, and just walk in victory, walk in the victory of life. No matter what you're facing right now, you can walk in victory. You don't have to wait until you get a healing or a blessing or whatever. Walk in it today. Walk in it right now. And I just so many confirmations of what I'm going to say today is what I need to say today that's been given to me. And I'll get to that. But before I do, I just want to mention that starting next week, today ends our series, Let There Be Light. Starting next week, we're going to do 4 messages on family. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about kids. We're going to talk about just relationships in general. And so I want you to come and be a part of that. It's going to be a great, great time together. And also, I want to mention to you that on the app, and it's already out on the app and the website, you can go in and register. So our marriage retreat is coming up at the end of February, the 22nd of February. And y'all can come anyway, but Russ and Rebecca are speaking. Y'all give it up for Russ and Rebecca. I'm so grateful. We were just chatting one day about it. We were looking for someone to speak for the conference, and I was just, it's just something that's on their heart, and so it's going to be really, really great. It's called Reflecting Love, working on shirts and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be catered meal. It's going to be a great night together. Please go on and register for that. And then today is Baptism Sunday. Now, this old boy grew up in a Church of Christ. We had Baptism Sunday every day. And we still adhere to that. If you decide you want to be baptized on Tuesday, you don't have to wait till Baptism Sunday. It's you need to take that step. So we want to make that clear. We just thought it'd be great. Some of the folks in our church, we're non-denominational, which Tim Hawkins says we're just Baptists with a cool website, but we're not. But anyway, we have so many different backgrounds in our church. And all of that. And these things are new to me. So I'm growing in it and learning in it. It's going to be great today. We have 2 already signed up to be baptized today. And then during the service today, if you come to a point of faith, we believe in believer's baptism here. You come to a point of faith that you believe Jesus is Lord. Just you ain't got to wait for a prayer. You ain't got to wait for a baptism. You got to just assent to faith in that moment. And then we would love to baptize you. And I'm going to say more about that right toward the end of our service. We've got clothes ready for you. There's no excuse. We're going to video record it. The family's not here. We're going to take pictures for it. We'll do whatever we have to take any excuse out of the way of the devil to cause you to take one more step toward Jesus, okay? And so always do that. Always do that. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a quid pro quo. Not quid pro quo. I'm going to give a little bit of a, what's the word? When they tell you about medicines on the commercial and then they tell you that how bad they are for you. What is it? I'm going to give a little bit of a, it's not really even really a disclaimer, but that's the word. That's the word I was looking for, Emily. Thank you. But it's this idea of I want to make sure that you understand before I start today that the last couple of weeks have been heavy on the teaching side of deep part of the word. And so sometimes that tends to make people kind of wig out in the middle of the message. I don't want you to do that. I'm gonna teach some things today that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is what God wants me to say today in this moment. And I could give you reason after reason, but that would take more time than I have. But I promise you, God is wanting to speak through this word today. And I want to set the scene for you to begin with, and that is, oh, by the way, let's welcome my online church. Hey, guys, we're glad you're here. Glad you're here. Sorry. Forgot about that. I didn't forget about you, but I just forgot to say, hey, all right, we're glad you're here. And so I want to set the scene for you. And most everybody, whether you're a believer or not, or whether you know the Bible or not, have heard the story of Moses going up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. If you didn't, Charlton Heston's got a great version of it way back when. I watched it at the Joyland Drive-In Theater. I told y'all that when I preached this message on the Exodus. And watching come off that, you know, mountain with those Ten Commandments. And, you know, the first time he comes down, Israel's already rebelled against God. He throws them down and breaks them. Well, the second time he goes up to get the law is what I'm going to talk about today, just a little bit at the beginning. You can imagine he's on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to get copy 2 of the Ten Commandments, and God is with him. And we say God is with us all the time. But in that time and age, God is like, Moses. That's the way it was in the movie. I don't know if that's the way he says it or what. But he says, Moses, and he gives them the law. I'm going to try my best today not to get too technical with that, but you have to understand some things today to be able to get to the end of this message. So y'all just bear with me, walk with me in it. The scripture says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant. And I love the reason why. Because he had spoken to the Lord. There is a definite connection with message one in this series, and that is that God is the source of light. He is the source of all the power. He is the source of creation. I'm really excited for our culture because once again, we can talk about God in our culture without somebody thinking we're weird or whatever. They still think we're weird, but it's becoming more in vogue, and it's going to keep being that way, I believe, and a turn toward God. We want to turn toward him. He's the creator of all things. And it's ludicrous to think anything else. Now, if you think that's an insult, I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult you. It's just dumb to think that something came from nothing. And we want you to understand that we believe God created it all. And he's the great creator of it all. And as he moved forward, he wanted to come and be in the world with his people. In fact, Adam and Eve in the garden, he walked and talked with them. So here you have the God, the creator of the universe, talking to Moses on the mountain 40 days before he comes off. He's so glowing, literally glowing, that he had to veil his face. And so if you'll fast forward hundreds of years in the New Testament, that's Old Testament, that's the book of Exodus, second book of your Bible, so it's thousands of years back. Well, you fast forward all of those years and you get to the New Testament, which is in the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul, who wrote that book, the guy who wrote that book, he was an apostle of Jesus, and he said some things about that, trying to make a comparison between what the old looks like and what the new looks like. And I want to tell you already, if you're confused, believe it or not, you are living in one of those two places. You are either in the old or you are in the new. There is no in between. And so understand that. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked. So here's what Paul says in the text. See, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Those of you who got my text this week, if you read it, you already read through this and understand what we're going to talk about. Paul reminds us of this story, and he compares the old with the new. First thing he says is the old way with laws etched in stone, literally etched in stone, led to death. Everybody say led to death. Well, see, I never read that little phrase. I thought the old law was good. Paul says it is. It was good. But our ability to keep it was impossible. And so it always leads to death. It's like what you do in your household when your kids do something wrong. What do? You make a rule. From now on in this house, you will not. And you draw a line in the sand. And forevermore until your kids get out of the house, they want to know what's on the other side of that line. That's the way we are in our nature. When Adam told God, don't eat the tree, Adam said, well, where is it? It's in the middle of the garden. And that being drawn to doing the things that your own way, drawn to doing things the way you think they ought to be done, no matter what it is. You fill in the blank with any topic. Go to school, get married, date, go to work, whatever it is. Fill it in with doing things your own way, and you will always bump into trouble. And so he says the old way with the law is etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Understand, the glory was not the law. The glory was God. And being in the presence of the law doesn't make anything glorious. In fact, it leads to death, Scripture says. But being that in that mindset, he's talking about a mindset. The old way started out with power and glory, the light of God shining on Moses' face. But because of our weakness in obeying it, the old way didn't do anything except constantly remind us of what we were doing wrong. It's very difficult to parent and not constantly be reminding your children, oh, that's not right. No, you don't do that. No, don't do that. No, don't stop. No, No, you shouldn't do that. Why are you doing that? That's dumb. Quit. Stop. You see what I'm talking about? Because the nature is to draw away from what is right, and parents are continually pointing back to what is right, and you get this conflicted thing, well, if I can't do anything right, then I'm no good. And that's what the culture wants you to believe. That's what the old law wants you to be. Since I couldn't do it, then why even try? And most of us, many of us, grew up in a religion that taught us that. You got to do this and this and this and this, and you got to do it in this way and this way and this way, and if you don't, you're going to hell. And I just was like, as a teenager, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to be like a hellion then. If that's where I'm going, I'm going to have fun while I'm here, you know, and just rebel against the whole thing. And so the idea of this, you, the old way, just keep constantly. In fact, every year they had to remind themselves with sacrifices for their sins because their sins were still with them. Can I get y'all to understand that your sins are not with you anymore in Christ? That's the good news. So Paul goes to the new way. Then came the new covenant. He says, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that Holy Spirit is giving life? Everybody say giving life. Old way led to what? Death. New way leads to what? Life. Everybody say life. If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, and it was, there was nothing wrong with God saying, don't murder people. That's a good thing. It's just the problem was our propensity to want to go kill somebody or to be angry with them enough that we would want to kill them, which is, by the way, where murder starts. That's why Jesus said, if you're angry with your heart, start with the heart. He says, if it brought condemnation, it was glorious. How much more glorious is the new way, which I love. Everybody say the last phrase with me, makes us right with God. It's on the screen. Say it again, makes us right with God. That's the word justification. In freedom, we learn that that means just as if I had never sinned before. That's where I want to be. I remember telling somebody one time that you know, I certainly don't want to be standing next to some of those martyrs whenever I see Jesus one day. Like, I don't want to be standing next to Polycarp. You're thinking, who is that? Burned at the stake for Jesus. I don't want to be standing next to Peter, who said, I don't want to be crucified even right side up. Just crucify me up. I'm not even worthy to be crucified the same way my Lord is. I don't want to be standing next to, and you name whoever it is that you think is so high and mighty and wonderful and awesome because they gave their life literally for Jesus. And you don't want to be standing there. Here's the deal, guys. We are all equal access when it comes to Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter whether you did some grave mass, just awful, terrible sin, or whether you did what you might call a little white lie sin. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. It separates you from God. And you can't get back to God without Jesus. People try it all the time. Hey, man, just talk to me when I get my life straightened out. I'll come back to church and get it right. Wrong. That's dumb. That's the wrong way to do it. You come to Jesus and let him clean you up. You see, the light of Jesus makes us right. The new way not only could it not, it only reminded us of, I mean, the new way not only does it remind us of our sins, but it shows us how that we could be and are right with God. We shouldn't have to worry about, did I do it right? Did I do it right? Did I do it right? Now, does that mean that we just go out and do whatever we want to do and it doesn't really matter how we treat people and all those things? Absolutely not. The Holy Spirit in us, when Holy Spirit is in us and Jesus living us with life, it's going to compel you. Scripture says the love that Christ gave us compels us to do the right thing, or at least to at some point want to do the right thing as we grow into that. And if the glory of the old way, system of law keeping, was incredible enough to radiate the light of God on the face of Moses, how much more should we reflect the beauty of Christ in our life? When I think of reflection, first thing I think about is a mirror. The next thing in my mind is I hate mirrors. I'm looking 60. Actually, this other night, I said, I'm going to bed early. I'm tired. And I had slept 4 hours. I took a four-hour nap, and it was about 10 o'clock. I said, I got to go to bed. She said, you going to bed already? I said, yeah. I said, well, does that make me an old fogey? She said, yep. I'm in there, man. I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, you know. But here's the deal. You cannot see your reflection in a mirror without being in proximity to it. You can't. Now, there's a reflection in there of something, but you can't see what it is because you're not in front of and you're not reflecting that. And here's what's happening to some of us. Some of us are every day of our lives trying to do right, trying to change. Okay, I won't look at that again. I won't eat that again. I won't do this again. I'll stop doing that again. And we beat ourselves up every day trying to figure out how to do the right thing. I will speak kinder to my family. I will not say things to my parents I shouldn't. And then the next day, or Toby Mack, we went to see him the other night, and he said, if y'all ever get to Wednesday of the week, do y'all ever get like to the middle of the week and think, what happened to Sunday? You know, I mean, it just tends to wane, doesn't it? And we get into life, and we get so focused on the things that are not of God, and we forget that reflecting the light of Jesus means that I always have to be in connection with the glory. I always have to be in connection with what I am trying to reflect. And the key to this is realizing that when we walk in the light of Jesus, trusting in His ability, not mine, then He not only gives us a home in heaven out there somewhere, we start eternal. John says you can know that you have. Everybody say, I have life. Look at your neighbor and say, I have life. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. You need to start living while you have life. I mean, it's one thing to say I'm alive, but it's another thing to say, am I living? When the doctor shared with me about this whole cancer thing and all that stuff, and I was talking to him about it and doing his things, he said, man, people survive a long time with this now. We got this medicine and that thing and it's over. And I said, yeah, but what kind of quality of life do they have? I said, dude, I want to live while I'm alive. And without getting into that, it's just the thought, I did hit me. I was like, man, I'm alive today. And not planning on going anywhere, Lord willing. But the point I'm trying to make is we have to be in the reflected light to show that glory to the rest of the world. And I'm going to show you how that happens as we unfold the rest of this message. There has to be more than just saying, I'm going to do better. How many of you wives would love for your husbands to stop saying, I'm going to do better. I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to be nicer. I'm not going to let anger take over me. I'm going to stop doing that. How many of you would love for him to just be quiet and do it? And I can do the same thing to husband. How many of you husbands would just love for her to stop saying that same thing over and over and over and over? And women don't just have a short-term memory. They remember the last time you did something wrong to them. They remember what shirt you had on. They remember what kind of underwear you had on. They remember everything about it. And guys are just going, I don't remember anything. My point with all that is, listen, y'all, if we could just do better, we wouldn't need Jesus. If I could do better, then Liz wouldn't have a big problem to have to deal with and me the other way around. But the problem is we're both human, and you are too. And every day that we live at work, we want to do better, but you go and you don't do better. Listen, I want to show you hopefully the secret today for us being able to do, not just to do better, but to be better. And it's all about being, this is not in your notes, but it should have been, is being connected to the source. I have to be connected to the source. I got here this morning, and I checked the temperature on the baptistry because we put the water thing on a couple days ago. Yeah, it takes about 24, 36 hours to warm it up. And I pulled the thermometer out and looked at it, and it said 100 degrees. I said, we have some lobsters come up out the baptistry today. I mean, it's going to be fun. So I immediately told but listen, the reason it was that hot is because it stayed plugged into that wall for a day and a half. It had to be connected to that heat source. Because the opposites happened, where the breaker flipped out, and I come in, and the water's 30 degrees, and praise God it's not that today, but the water's cold because it got disconnected from the source. And we have to stay connected with the source. Moses, what he received caused his face to shine. Holy Spirit comes, and he causes you to shine. It's a whole other ball game, whole other thing of what's going on in our life. And I want you to know, that we always say this, and you know, if you're trying to get a job or something, you say, well, it's not what you know, it's what? Who you know, right? Same thing with Jesus. It doesn't matter what you know, but it does matter who you know. In a way different way than that other saying means. But it does matter that you're connected to the source. Young people, listen to me. All around this room, we have kids and young people, all of you. And some of you, you know, if you're less than 40, you're younger than me. So listen. Part of the problem of you trying to be who you want to be is you unplugged from the source and you walked away from what you were trying to reflect. And what happens automatically, here's what happens with our spirit when we do that. The spirit shuts down. When you ignore the spirit, it shuts down. When I ignore my body says, I'm hungry, please feed me. When I ignore my mind, I get dumb and I do dumb things. But when I ignore my spirit, it shuts down. And so our lives as a church and as a people, the reason we do small groups is to open your spirit. The reason we preach is to open your spirit. The reason we worship. Nobody in here is breaking out in an anger fit in here when we're singing, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." We're singing those things. Everybody's just behaving, and this is wonderful and it's great. It's because we are connected in worship. Y'all don't have to wait to be here on Sunday morning for that to happen, by the way. You can do that anytime you want to do that. So here's the thing. Two things real quick. One is you have to walk in relationship with Jesus. And y'all knew that was coming, right? I mean, it's one of those things where if you're talking about let there be light, you're talking about the title of the lesson today is Believers, A Reflection of the Light. A Reflection of the Light. And our theme verse, it's at the end of the message. We're probably not going to get there because I don't have time. But the theme verse is the idea of be the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. And all those things. The concept of that is we have to be completely connected to Him in order to do that. And it's more than just a thumbing of the nose or a tipping of the hat or, "Hey, Jesus, how are you doing? It's Sunday. I want to come see you." It's so much deeper than that. It's realizing. And this is something that we all need to realize. I need to realize it more and more every day, is that you and I are nothing without Him. We're nothing. The world is in this grand identity crisis trying to figure out who they are. And the problem is they've kicked Him out of everything. And the more we invite God back into every part of our lives, no matter what it is, the more and more we're going to see His reflection in our lives. John says it this way. We have heard. I love John's relationship. If you read the Gospel of John, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book, and then you read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, written by the same guy, and this man didn't just have some kind of like, "Hey, what's up, Jesus," kind of relationship with Him. He calls himself in his book the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think that's hilarious for one thing, but I can't wait to ask him about that. Was that really you you're talking about? I think it was. But he loved Jesus. And here's what he says about Him in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "We have heard and seen." I put Jesus in the block there because that's who he's talking about. We've heard and seen Jesus. "We saw Him with our own eyes, touched Him with our own hands. He is the Word of life, and He is the one who is life itself." John said, he's not some guy we knew back in the day. He was life itself. He was revealed to us, and we have seen Him. Here, see all those words that are highlighted: heard, seen, touched. John could say, "Man, I hugged Him. I watched Him walk. I was there when we fed the 5,000. John could say those things. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's the thing. We always think we're at a disadvantage for that. Jesus said, "Blessed are the people who have never seen and still believe." So by faith, I saw the people get fed by 5,000, about 5,000 fed by just a little boy's lunch. By faith, I watched Him walk on water. By faith, I had communion with Him on the beach. By faith, I sat down on the beach and while He cooked fish. By faith, we participate because we are what this has been confirmed. People sent me stuff this morning, things that were on their hearts, just connected. We are children by faith. So Scripture says, "But to all who believed and accepted Him," if you've never this morning said Jesus is Lord and accepted Him as Lord, that's your first step. He says, "To all who believed and accepted Him, He gave the right to become." I'm going to come back to the word "become" later. Important word there, children of God. Now, we're automatically adopted as His children, but the becoming is important. We have to do that. We call it sanctification. That's a Christianese word. It just means you constantly, God is working on sharpening us and making us who He wants us to be. He's continually, the word calls it refining. And sometimes that takes some tribulation for that to happen. But to all who believe and accepted Him, He became children of God, not just a symbolic child. Romans 8:17 says we're not just a child, like an adopted child, like whatever. That's precious enough. That's close enough for me. But He says you're a joint heir with Christ. You are just like my son. So when Jesus looks at you, he don't see you, He sees Jesus. He sees His son. And He knows you. So listen, son and daughter of God. Sons and daughters of God. That sounds good, doesn't it? It doesn't sound that good to y'all, but it sounds real good to me. You see, I think that's part of the problem. We hear it so much. Oh, yeah, I'm a child of God. Yeah. Yeah, had a hamburger for supper last night, and I'm a child of God. It's almost like we equate the two. And I don't want to get too hard on you here or whatever, but y'all, we ought to step up our likeness. We ought to step up the reflection. And I'm not going back to the old law telling you got to do it right and get it right and be right in order to be right, because God's made you right. I'm just saying we ought to act like we're right. We ought to act like we're in it. We ought to be like we're in it. And that takes me stepping into something, and that's next point, and that is to walk in boldness for Jesus. Walk in boldness for Jesus. He lives in us, and we walk in that with boldness. I'm going to read a text to you that in your notes there's a typo there. It says 1 John 5:7. It's actually 1 John 1:7. You can change that in your notes, so when you look at it later, you might go, what is he talking about? He said, walk in the light as he is in the light. When we do that, we have fellowship one with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Y'all, that whole text right there is a series of messages. Me and Philip, brother, we could get in the room. We could break that down, couldn't we? But me and Philip are word guys, man. We could break that down and talk for hours about that one verse. But I want to point out one word and try to avoid the temptation of digging too deep into it. But it's the word cleanses. Cleanses. Now, that word is not a word I grew up with in that text. The way we read that in church was, if you walk in the light and do enough right things and get it right, then God will be happy with you and he won't kill you in hell. That's what I was taught. It wasn't taught that way, but it was interpreted in that way. And we didn't break down the word cleanses. That little word is an ongoing word. It's a word that doesn't just stop at some point. It's like your wipers on your car. As the rain hits, it wipes them off and wipes them off. And rain hits and wipes them off. And we want to continually keep that. If you're reading King James, it's cleanseth, E-T-H. That means it keeps on going. And I'm going to tell you something. You and I would be dead in the water with Jesus if that were not true. Because without him continually cleansing me from my sins, I have no hope. I've been praying these healing prayers over me in the mornings. And I'm praying this concept of that God heals all of our sicknesses and our diseases. And in those texts, there's several of those texts in the Psalms where he connects healing of physical things with the sinlessness of the transformation that takes place inside of us, spiritually speaking. And I'll just tell you, the most important one of those is the spiritual part. Because the physical part, whether I make it through this or not, I'm dying one day. It's just coming. And you are too. Welcome to church, right? I'm sorry, but one out of one dies unless Jesus comes back. Wouldn't that be fun right now? Kind of always thought I'd like to be doing a funeral when Jesus comes back. Just all of a sudden the graves, there's like little caskets from the people going, hey, I'm back. I'm going to be with Jesus. Y'all come on. Oh, that'd be fun. And I know right now some of you are probably thinking, but I can't talk about that lightly because I'm not there yet. I want you to be there. But here's the thing. You don't have to be a pastor for 40 years. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to school. All you need to know is that Jesus loves you and he wants to cleanse you from everything that's in your past. And he wants to do that every morning you wake up. He wants to do it every day. It's what he does. It's all he does. One of the greatest things I learned in freedom is that God doesn't want to condemn me. He wants to convict me. He wants to lead me. And I'm so grateful. When he says those things, I will heal your sickness, but I will forgive you of your sins. And Hebrews says, I will never, ever remember them against you again. That's the God I serve. Part two of the message. Here's what I want to finish with, and that's this. The rest of this text breaks down this concept of what happens when spirit gets in us and we get released from the old way of thinking I've got to do everything and we get settled into the new way. So you guys who grew up like me, this is a moment you really want to draw into this and really accept this, because this is what sets you free. He says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What's the veil? It wasn't the cloth over Moses' face. The veil that Paul equated that to is the veil of you saying, I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I can't do this. I'm not going to church because I can't do all those right things. And there's no way in the world I can ever make it because God knows how bad of a sinner I am. And I'll never. And it turns that I'll never into not only will I never, but I will always be in him. That's the veil is taken away. The veil's gone. You guys who grew up in a religion that taught you were bad, I'm here to give you some good news. Jesus wants you in his spirit, in his life, so he can teach you how to live and teach you how good you really are. Not based on yourself, based on what he did. It's what he did. You can name the sin. I don't care what it is. In fact, our church gets looks at crosswise sometimes because we want to accept people right where they are. And you kick the tires as long as you need to. But one day you're going to kick the tire and go, you know what? I'm buying this thing. I'm in it. I'm in it for good. And when you do, then all of us are going to be like, see? See how that is? And you start living in it. And we can say, see? One day somebody's going to be in heaven because you said, see? How is this taken away? He says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we tend to bumper sticker that verse. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Yay! We do that. We bumper sticker Bible verses all the time. Y'all, this kind of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is inside of me, I have a freedom that you can't even kill me and take my faith. You can't. That's the power. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if you let me live, I'm going to talk about Jesus. And if you kill me, I'm going to go be with Jesus. Either way, I'm fine. I love that, man. I said that real good too, didn't I? Come on, somebody said amen somewhere. And the scripture goes on to say, so all of us who have had the veil removed, I can tell you some places I was when the veil got removed. I can tell you, I can see, it's like about four or five rows from the very back of the church building at Zoe Conference. And you don't even know what that is, but it's a worship conference. And I saw all these people lifting their hands to Jesus. And I thought, what's that all about? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I was always taught that was sin and it was wrong. You shouldn't do that, even though the Bible says you did. I was taught a lot of stuff in Bible school that's not in the Bible. But anyway, this whole thing. And I remember being on the back row of that thing. And I just remember being set free. And I looked around. Ain't nobody around me. I lifted my hands to Jesus. And y'all think, man, it's such a little thing. It's just a small thing. But I can tell you, my hands are trembling. When you get set free like that, husbands, when you get set free like that, you come home and you tell your wife, say, we're not watching this on TV anymore because God's convicted me that we don't need this in our life. Wives, when you come home and you tell your children, hey, kids, no more we're going to do this, or we're going to start doing this because it gives life, and it gives life into our home, and we're going to do this thing. And kids, when you start coming home from school and flipping your parents out and saying, you know what, I found Jesus, and my life's going to be different. I'm going to begin to obey and do what I need to do, and I'm going to learn how to live my life and grow up and be a responsible person. And they're going, what in the world has happened? And you go, it's a connection. And all of a sudden, because they're in front of the mirror, they're reflecting what's there. He says, so all of us have had the veil removed, can see and reflect. Part of the reason you can't see is because you're blinded by religion and all these other things and what can I accept and what I cannot accept. And you start making all these rules for your life. Y'all, listen, we can stack up some rules in religion, can't we? And all I think Paul is asking us today is let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. See and reflect the glory of the Lord. How can I do that? He goes on to say, fellowship in the Spirit is this, and the Lord who is the Spirit. Love how God connects himself together so many times in Scripture. We believe in Trinity and we see Trinity, but he's really just one. They never interact without each other, and they're so unified. He says, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. You remember when I said the word becoming would come back into play today? I am not where I want to be, but I am not where I have been. I got lots of work to do, and you do too. But it's okay, because he says in that text that he's the one making us more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So stop He's the one who sustains us in our inability. He's the one who makes us like himself. It is our willingness to submit to him that just answers this question. Can you not just rip the veil off today? Can you not just say, okay, I'm done with religion. I'm done with church. I'm done with all these things. I'm just going to rip the veil off. All I want is Jesus. And when that happens, church won't be a got to. It'll be a get to. Bible reading won't be a problem. It'll be an opportunity. It'll be something you won't want to miss. I'll tell you the worst thing about 21 days of fasting and prayer, which ends today, is that it ends today. Don't stop doing that. Keep getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and reading your word and praying. Don't just give it up because we're not meeting over here or you're in your home or whatever it is. Continue to see that, because here's what happens. When we decide to walk away from those things, we start losing the thing we're trying to reflect. That's nature. That's human nature. But the supernatural says you do not have to do that. Rip it off. Can you just surrender to Jesus in humility today and confess your sins before him? You don't have to come tell me. You can go, we're gonna have a prayer team around in a little bit, but you're gonna do that. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to get up here in front of the church and air out all your dirty laundry. All you have to say is, Lord. And he says, what? Scripture says when you say Lord, he inclines his ear. He wants you to talk to him. So that's kind of dumb because he already knows what I've done. Yes, but confession is more for you than it is him. James 5:16 says that you get healed when you confess. Because once you admit it out loud, especially to somebody else, Scripture says confess your faults one to another. Why? So that you can be healed. Because when you admit it to somebody else, then all of a sudden the devil has no hold on you. And forevermore, you have a friend that can say, hey, anytime you call me, I have friends like that. Hey, I'm struggling today. I need you, brother. Will you pray for me? Absolutely, I will. And we hold on to each other that way, and we grow in that. That's becoming. And then you need to repent of your sins. Oh, I knew you was going to get to the hard part. Repent is not a bad word. It's a good word. Repent just simply means that you choose life instead of death. Y'all have heard me say this. It's not original with me. First person I ever heard say it was Pastor Chris Hodges. He said, hell is not for bad people. Hell is for people who choose to pay for their own sins. And you don't have to pay. It's already been paid. And I'll tell you this. My brother back here said this a lot. If God didn't give me anything else but salvation, what else do you need? If you never blessed me again with anything in this world, there's nothing to be compared with that glory. Now, some of you have drifted away from the light. And it's dark where you are, and you don't like it. You don't like it. You're groping around in the dark trying to find your way. Last week I talked about that. Transform. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you become so full of Jesus, so full of Jesus, so full of who he is, that every time you're jostled, all you spill out with is Jesus. You're so incredibly imbibed in him that when people ask you what's wrong with you, you say, nothing's wrong with me. Let me tell you what's right with me. I finally give my life up to the Lord. And people will ask, by the way, when you change your life and you begin to reflect that light that Christ has given you. Today we're going to have Baptism Sunday, and as we transition from this to that, I'm going to exit and go get ready to do that. But as we transition, I don't want to lose the moment. I don't want to lose this time. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God used me in this today. Because I'll be honest, I got here this morning trying to rehearse through this, and I didn't know how it was going to come out. I think it came out exactly like he wanted me to. I really do. I'm not bragging on me when I say that. In fact, I'm very humbled by it. Very humbled by it. None of this is about me or you. But it is about you submitting your will to his. So will you give up today? Just surrender? You may not even know what you're surrendering to, but I promise you he'll guide you through every step of it. And we'll be here to help you. If you're at home, you guys online, and you're sitting here thinking, man, I need to confess and do what. If you want to do that with someone, just go to our website, discoveryl.church, and hit the connect tab. All those come to me, and we'll chat. It doesn't have to come to me. You can just right where you are. Just say, Lord, I confess. This is where I am, and I'm going to change my life, and I want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and I want to be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, baptism is like putting on a coat. It literally is like clothing. It's like a completion of a suit. I hate suits. And I wore one yesterday at this wedding, and I put it on, and Leah said, you look nice. So I like it when she says that. I'm still not going to wear a suit if I can help it. But the suit wasn't complete until the coat was on. And I want you today to complete that walk. Take that next step. By the way, that doesn't mean you've arrived and religion is good and Christ is God. You're going to live for the rest of your life. You're going to change your life. Sanctification is going to happen. You're going to begin to grow. You're going to get in a small group. We're going to help you grow. But let us have that opportunity and give God that opportunity this morning. Will you stand with me for just a moment? Just a moment. This really wasn't planned this way, but I feel a need. I want you, if you have an opportunity right now, if you want to step out, and prayer team, you guys go stand where you need to for a moment. We're going to transition right into this, into our baptism Sunday, and we're going to be some music. Don't leave. But I want you to have the opportunity to step out and go pray with somebody right now. Father, as people are making moves toward you, I pray, Father, you will help them to take that first step and the second step and whatever it is, God. People shake it in their boots, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen or whatever in this room. Maybe it's somebody they're going to pray with. They don't even know. But, Lord, I pray they'll step. That, Father, we'll take the veil off. That we'll reflect your glory. And that any light that we might have is only the light that you are in our life. And I pray, Father, that as we worship, we sing, all hail King Jesus. And we can say that and sing that from a perspective maybe we never have. And Father, we lift our hands to you, lift our hearts to you, we lift our lives to you. We come receiving, Lord. I ask you all in this room right now just to open your hands in front of you. You don't have to lift them, just open them in front of you and receive. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Don't be afraid. He's not going to make you do something weird or something you don't understand. Just receive. Father, we need you to come and to fill us because we cannot take one step without you. So we praise you. Thank you for allowing us to be your light. Now, as I end this prayer time, I want you to stay in worship, stay in worship, stay in worship, and continue to sing. But during this song, if there's at any moment that you feel a need, these guys and girls are going to be down here all the whole time. If you feel a need to come and pray, please do. Don't miss this opportunity to move your life toward Him.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death it claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior.
You can go ahead, stand right where you are, turn 180 degrees, and you're going to see in the back corner the baptismal tank. Any family and friends of those who are being baptized, you're welcome to go stand over there. Don't lean too far over, lest you too be baptized.